But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Scott Brennan again, Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. It's a lovely, rainy, cool, damp, shitty day. I'm sitting here at my buddy Doug Max's creepy apartment. We're sitting here with three half-assed comedians, so together maybe we can make one comedian. Yeah.
The three of us together would be better than any comedian combined.
Right, we could make a Voltron of comedians. So I'm sitting here with Doug Max and Michael Berlew, two guys who I've become very friendly with by working on Johnny Watson's show and doing mics together and sleeping in cramped rooms in where is it? Ocean City.
Ocean City, Maryland.
And all that, and you say being friendly with, not friends with. Don't think I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Well, we're friends with benefits, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
why
true.
I'm doing the interview.
Well, that's in true. Fact, the three of us are sitting here completely nude, talking.
What? It's two of you. Count.
Doug.
Well, you're now, coming along.
Doug, you've been doing the radio show for, what, a year now? And you still don't realize that. In order for people to pick up sound, you have to talk into a microphone.
Is that this thing here?
Yes. So currently we're using two microphones. The one microphone is jammed into a big pink Tupperware container that I use to carry around because I don't have an extra mic stand right now. But, boys, you know, the world's falling apart. The NFL players are going crazy. ISIS is lopping heads off. And, you know, our privacy is leaving us a little bit at a time. Comedians are dying right and left. But it's great to be with the two of you. You know, what else can brighten your day than sitting with...
Michael Berlew makes the world better.
It does.
I know.
What could make my world better than sitting with the two of you?
Yes, anything, probably.
Well, no, not anything. I can only think of actually one thing.
Johnny Watson.
Maybe two. Well, Johnny Watson is one of them. And then I was thinking of the how can I put it?
The female-y type.
The non-male type.
The one without the Y chromosome?
I didn't know there was going to be math.
Yeah, yeah. So let me give you a little background on the two of these guys here. I guess we could kind of say we're all in a similar boat here. We're wannabe hack comedians trying to make our way in this little... I don't know why you would ever... Like I said to on my last podcast... You know, I always wanted to make money, and then I became a teacher, and now I'm getting into comedy. So, obviously, there's something wrong there.
You took a wrong turn at that fork there.
Yeah.
Money was on the right. You went to the left.
Yes, yes. But you know what? I'm enjoying it. First, let's start with Berlew. Berlew, first off, how long have you been doing comedy? And what made you get into it?
It's been about a year. It's just something I always wanted to do. It's one of those things when you're just like one-on-one with people. You just... shooting the crap, you know, and say a bunch of funny stuff. And it's like, yeah, I'd always like to get into it. And about 3 years ago, I did like one open mic because I couldn't find any open mics. And I did pretty good. The guy said I did well. So I wanted to go back the next week. And, of course, the thing shut down. And then I spent 2 years trying to find something. And then as I was crawling along doing a couple open mics, that's when I heard about the Johnny Watson comedy course over at the Comedy Cove, and that's where it kind of led to doing a show and we all meeting up and stuff.
Yeah. Who's your comedic influences, real quick? If you give me one, two, or three, something like that. Who's your favorite?
I don't really have, like people
Johnny
ask
Johnny Watson,
me,
Doug Max, and Scott Brennan.
Well, it's like, people ask me... I mean, people ask me, like, what's my favorite comedian? What's the best stand-up? I have more memories of, like comedy TV shows. Like Married with Children was something that really turned me around, where I just like saw the sarcasm and the almost, I don't want to say depression, but it's kind of like you can joke about the crap life that you always live in, for lack of a better term.
Right. A way to deal with things in a way.
Yeah. And that was just something. And then, like, the early years of Roseanne, that was good stuff. Not that final year crap with her winning the lottery and stuff, but that was atrocious.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to quickly turn to Doug Max, because I swore before we started this podcast, it's not going to be an interview set today or show today. But you got to get to know these guys a little bit. Doug, same thing with you. You're in a little bit of a different situation. You're a little bit more mature than the rest of us here.
Yes.
It's a nice way of saying older. Polished, aged.
How old do you think I look, though? That's the important thing.
You look like you've been dead for 4 years.
Right. You only look deceased slightly. Like...
somewhat.
Like, not where the maggots have started getting at you yet.
Okay.
Doug.
I see how it is.
Just a little preface here. Doug is like the, how do I say this? Of our little group we've been forming. Doug's like the guy that, I don't know, you just beat him down, and he deserves it. He just deserves it. He asks for it, kind of, you know. He,
slapping him, waiting for him to kind of say something. But he never does.
But then when he says something, you're like, that's why we slap him around.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of embracing this role in the last, you know, month, couple months or so, because he really just throws ridiculous things out there. He has no embarrassment at all. And he's quite the character. Doug, why don't you say hello to the audience, introduce yourself a little bit.
Hello, audience.
Yes.
Allow me to introduce myself.
Yeah.
Hello, audience.
Yes. Doug is a slightly over middle-aged Jewish man. Doug, how did you start getting into comedy and why?
Well, I probably would credit my father, because growing up, he loved watching comedy shows. So I grew up, you know, as a young teenager, I guess, with some of my favorite shows at the time were Hogan's Heroes. It's just funny my father liked that because he was a prisoner of war in World War II and he escaped. I loved Get Smart. My father would get records, Bob Newhart, and I would listen and memorize the records.
Right.
I grew up, I don't know if you guys know the names. I'm 58, so I'm in a different generation. You know, I grew up with seeing, you know, they were still doing all the replays of Laurel and Hardy. Didn't like them as much as Elvis and Costello. I love them.
Abbott and
I grew
Costello.
Up, I saw Groucho Marx live.
You mean Abbott and Costello, not Abbott Elvis Costello,
Elvis and Costello,
the musician?
Sorry.
Jesus Christ. See, he is slipping.
I got to see.
He's slipping. He's slipping. Give him a little leeway.
I got to see Groucho live on You Bet Your Life.
Right.
Or at least again in replays.
All right.
You know, in all the old Marx Brothers movies. You know, when I grew up, comedy for me was always clean. All of it. Jack Penny and the old guy, Burns and Allen. Gracie Allen, wonder. Do you know them? Have you?
I don't know
them?
The Allen. So far, I'm with you on most of them. That one, I'm a little short on there.
You had
how about you, Berlew?
No, not familiar with that one.
Yeah, George Burns was wonderful.
George Burns, yes.
Yeah, and his wife Gracie Allen. So they did a TV show together,
now
and they always
okay.
started with a little. Bilogue, not a monologue, but the two of them would
a bilogue. That's
it was
a great
a
word right there.
Thank you. The two of them would do a little, you know, I don't know what you call it, the little tete-on-tete comedian set. It was very, very funny.
Now, when did you decide to start? I'm going to give it a shot here.
The day I got the divorce papers in the mail, and I knew they were coming.
Which was how long ago?
2.5 years.
2.5 years, okay.
That same day. And I had been planning this and thinking of it for maybe a year and knew I couldn't say to my soon-to-be ex-wife that I was going to go out once a week or whatever and do comedy because I knew I'd, you know. So that day, I wrote an email to Jason, the Comedy
From,
Cove booker.
Right.
And I booked myself on the first New Talent Night, and I loved it. And I knew I would. I knew I would because I'd always been the, you know, I won't say class clown. I was a smart class clown.
Yeah. Right. So basically between us, the three of us, not a lot of experience here, but I will tell you that the three of us are putting in work, trying to make the best out of things. And we formed a little bit of an interesting group here. If you looked at us, we look like, I guess you couldn't call us the odd couple. It would be like an odd quartet.
I think
or
something quartet. Like aliens from Star Wars.
Yeah, like, you know, we.
And the Jew.
No. Darth Vader and the Jew.
Yes.
Mike would be Chewbacca.
Mike he still doesn't Chewbacca. Get the mic thing.
You would be.
How was
yeah,
that?
You would be some like freakishly tall elf.
All
alien.
Right. But once you're tall enough, would I still be an elf? Like I don't know.
And then I'd be some sort of alien Jew with the Yiddish accent.
Alien Jew with the Yiddish accent. Yes.
So what's Watson like? Han Solo.
Oh, do not give him that credit. No one's as cool as Han Solo.
Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Who is that frog?
Yeah, a little
guy?
Whiny bastard like Princess Leia.
Who is the frog guy? The frog alien?
Or even Luke, but no one
it's
touches Han. No one touches Han. Ooh. Come on, that's like dream role right there. You know, like Han's one of the coolest guys ever.
He's cooler than Luke Skywalker.
Oh, way cool. Luke's a whiny little bit.
Then anyone have been the power converters at the Tasha station? Like, ugh.
I don't know. I've seen Johnny Watson perform a lot. I don't think any of your audience could find a funnier comedian. Suck up.
God, you hear this? You hear this freaking?
Oh, excuse me. On Watson's
you hear this
podcast,
slurping
on Watson's podcast? Like, what was it? Oh, Gene, that was a wonderful, wonderful open mic you
see,
did.
But that was a
oh,
that
Gene,
was in humor, Doug. See, you'll realize humor one day when you write your first joke.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
You got him.
Yeah.
He's kind of quiet now.
You got me good.
Yeah. So anyway, I shared, we went down, it was sometime in July. Burley went down a couple times too, but I had happened to go when Doug was down there. We went to stay with Johnny Watson down at the Princess Royale.
Princess Royale, Ocean
now,
City.
I guess I'm a, you know, Johnny's a pretty, he works as a comedian full time. None of us make money as a comedian yet. So I guess I had it in my head, oh, he's staying down there. He must have this beautiful room.
Sweet.
A suite. This is going to be so much
it's
fun.
Be fruit in a bowl.
A fruit in a fucking
tub,
bowl.
Jacuzzi.
A mini bar. We're going to be hitting the mini bar.
Mm-hmm. Jacuzzi. Have whatever you want. Room service guys, go ahead.
So it's interesting. I get down there, and I had gotten down there before Doug and Johnny for almost like 3 hours like before. And it was cool because it was like, oh, I checked out a brewery that was down there, sat on the beach, was writing. I know that sounds very poetic. But so I'm still seeing the hotel, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be nice. This mm-hmm. is going to be nice. And like the main hotel is kind of like – main part of the hotel is kind of in front by the street. And then there's like this little living quarters mm-hmm. in the back.
The outhouse.
Yes.
Dormitories.
So I get there. Doug and John get there, and Doug calls me. We're up on the third floor or whatever, the fifth floor. And he says, just come up the stairs, and we're right there. So I pass all these Russian immigrants and Czechoslovakian and God knows what.
Ukrainian.
Some Asian ones in there, too.
And there, a lot of them are there on, like, work programs, which I know from the past that a lot of shore towns do that. Like, Seaside Heights does that for, like, the people who work the stands and stuff like that. And if I was their age, it sounds like a great opportunity.
Atlantic City, they're pretty big there, too.
Yeah, go hang out for a summer, like, get away, go see the country a little bit, work. So I get there, I'm like, okay. And we get to Johnny's room, and the only way I could describe it is kind of prison cellish.
I would say that's very accurate.
One window, maybe 10 by 10.
Joint bathroom.
Joint bathroom with another comedian.
One queen bed.
Now, one queen bed, fine. I knew I was going to probably be sleeping on the floor in an air mattress. No room for the air mattress. Mm-hmm. We had to kind of Tetris the room to really fit in the air mattress. The first night, Doug slept on the air mattress. I slept on the floor. Now, the floor was not carpeted. It was concrete, like a slab of concrete.
Hey,
I think
it was painted. Don't complain.
Yeah, it was painted. The shower, like it was like being pissed on. Like,
can
it was,
I just say,
yes.
I'm kind of OCD. And I could not I've never been in a place before indoors where I felt like I did not want to touch my skin on the surface. And one of the reasons for that is that the bathroom was shared with someone who had, can I say?
No, another comedian.
Can I say what he had?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
He had colitis.
Colitis.
Ooh.
Nobody's going to recognize that.
No, that's okay, though. So, other than the room, it was a freaking great experience. Johnny had, basically, we would go downstairs in the morning and go into where the comedy room was. It was like a meeting room.
Conference room.
Yeah, conference room turned into the and we got to work, like, with the stage, with nothing. We did a radio show or two down there and just work. Other than going to the Golden Corral, it was a great experience. Now, Johnny Wanson loves the Golden Corral, so he says, we're going to go to Golden Corral for breakfast. Hey, no problem. Sure, whatever. Breakfast, you know? And
it's in another state.
Yes. It turns out to be an hour drive for a buffet. Now, cheap buffet, lots of food, good. But by the time you factor in the travel and the gas mileage, it's outrageous how far away he travels for breakfast.
And it wasn't his gas mileage.
That's true. It was Doug Max's gas mileage. So like that's kind of like a running joke about the Golden Corral. Like it made no. There's all these restaurants all along the boardwalk, breakfast foods, nice places on the beach.
If we went to Watson and we said, "Listen, we know you love the Golden Corral. We've planned a dream trip. We're going to go across the country and visit Golden Corrals in every state."
Maybe we should book him like management and try to do like a Golden Corral comedy tour.
Well, we can only do it Sundays because he wants to do the breakfast for the blueberry pancakes. So we can
once a week. A Sunday morning brunch comedy tour where we do comedy totally right in the middle of the buffet.
Now, knowing what we do about the clientele at the Golden Corral, mm-hmm. where it's unlimited.
Everything,
which includes everything, and a lot of sugar and donuts
and
sweet things, and
sprinkles.
So the clientele are on the monstrous side.
Yes,
I mean
heavyweights.
These are people that I was surprised the chairs held them up.
Mm-hmm. Reinforced chairs probably there.
So what kind of comedy would you be doing on our Golden Corral tour? You think? Hey, you fat people! Can we say bad words on your podcast?
You
can
say anything you want, though.
Really? Whoa.
This is uncensored.
Whoa, what a nice room.
Authorities, if you're listening, please listen in. Doug Max is about to confess something.
Go ahead.
You can say, hey, you fat fucks!
Whoa!
Have you eaten enough?
Whoa! Well, I didn't know you were going there, Doug. You said the F word. Whoa!
I gotta do it, like, once a show so people think I'm cool.
Right, a little edgy. Yeah. You know.
I wouldn't even have comedy. I would just have melted butter. And just pass it out to everybody. I would get a standing ovation every night. Just pour it on like their eggs. They wouldn't care.
Oh, now me, I would find the hottest woman there and ask her if I could pour some melted butter on her. And I think if I asked her really smoothly and cutely, maybe.
Here we go.
The average girl is about 230.
Here comes Shtick Max. You know, one thing you gotta realize about Doug. Sometimes you can't tell what is a normal conversation and what is shtick. Like he hits you with all ways. He'll throw a joke.
You never know where I'm going, Brennan.
Yeah, you'll be in the middle of a conversation. All of a sudden, he's doing his routine. It's unbelievable what you are able to do, Doug. It's unbelievable.
I have no conscience. That's a secret.
Now, not only was the Golden Corral trip extensively long, if you've ever driven with Doug Max. You literally start flashing back to your childhood and things that were good because you really think that that's the last day you're ever going to see. Doug drives 150 miles an hour. He has a BMW that he takes care of, like, probably better than his children.
Wait, I have children?
Yes. Yeah, you do.
His car is speed limited to 128, so you know. There's a speed delimiter. A kid can't go over 128.
Well, all I know is
I'm hitting the imaginary brake in the passenger seat. I felt like a driver's ed instructor, like, slow down. So, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's called threshold braking. I brake at the last minute going into a turn because it's better on the brakes, and it makes me feel more
manly. You know what? It might be better on the brakes, but it's not better when we freaking have a fatal accident, and one of them is me.
It's great on the brakes. Everybody in the car is dead, but still.
Yeah. Berlew, have you driven with Doug Max?
Yes, we did the Golden Corral trip together.
How did I do in that parking lot? That was awesome, wasn't it? The parking garage.
I mean, he drives like a Formula One racer. And then another time I drove with Doug, we went to an open mic, and I left my car at his place, and he lives in Bernardsville. And if you know anything about Bernardsville, a lot of windy, woodsy, farmy type of roads, and he's going 150 down those. It's fucking frightening. You're one step away from being Tony Stewart, and I don't mean good. I mean by killing someone on the road.
The dirt road Tony Stewart.
Yeah.
So I've been living here so long, I really know these roads very well.
I don't give a shit. I've been living in my neighborhood for a long time. I don't drive like I'm like a maniac.
It's because you drive a pickup truck, not a BMW.
I don't care. I don't
care.
Well,
if you had a BMW, listen, I've been driving the BMW 3 Series since 1994, 20 years. It's me and the car are one.
Oh, God.
Me and the car are one.
You and the car are going to be one when you careen into a river.
Into a telephone pole. And
anyway, guys, let's change it up a little bit. So it seems like the NFL is falling apart before our eyes. Mm. Just today, I mean, it might have been yesterday, I just heard of Adrian Peterson now disciplining his kid with a switch, which I didn't even know meant a branch.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
We did know that. I did not know that. And apparently he beat his kid with a branch and is now up on charges for, negligence and abuse.
If it's
or
a switch,
like that.
If it's a switch, he's not really beating. It's more like whipping.
Whipping.
It's not beating.
Whipping. You would think black people have come further than whipping punishments.
It can cut the skin and stuff like that.
But, I don't know. Like, I was disciplined as a child. I was never hit hard, but I was definitely spanked. And I was hit with – the wooden spoon was the big threat in my house.
Ooh. It was a belt for me.
It was the wooden spoon. And, like, you know, like if you were in trouble, you hear the rustling of, like, the kitchen cabinets. Like, and shing, you know, the wooden spoon comes out.
I remember a hairbrush, of a hairbrush.
And – I remember my mom had a wooden spoon with a porcelain handle, and she had hit me with it and broke the porcelain handle on me.
Oh, and then she needed another spoon.
Yeah, and I was like, bitch, I broke your spoon! I'm stronger than the spoon! But, I don't know, how about you guys? What do you feel about this?
I mean, me growing up, my biggest... I don't have an issue. I mean, I know it's... I'm in the minority in this, but, like, growing up, if my dad spanked me because I did something bad and that's it... I was fine with it. I mean, obviously, I got a spanking, but it's just one of those, I don't consider that child abuse. I don't know the situation of what the kid did. I mean, I know it's a four-year-old, and we're dealing with a switch here, so, but I'm just one of those, it's like, I don't understand, like, all of us are here, and we can joke about our spanking stories. We all have the spanking story, and we all just sit back and laugh, and we're... you know, all well-adjusted, but we're the same parents who's turned around and said, oh, we can't hit our kids because it's so wrong, and they'll grow up and they'll have weird opinions, and they don't understand why they're getting spanking. I just don't get what occurred there.
Now, I just brought up a picture, which is apparently his son. You know, some pretty decent...
low extensive.
Pretty decent wounds.
I'm seeing, like, 6 or 7 serious, you know... blood.
Yeah. Some.
So that's not like a wife call. Was he married?
I don't know.
I mean, that's like he not like. How old was he? 6. You said the boy.
4.
4 years old.
4. The so the boy didn't. Who reported him?
I guess.
I would guess
the baby's
mother.
Mama. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I was gonna say if it's a mother. I mean, you know, sometimes you know the another spouse could exaggerate, you know, to get them in trouble with the police. And but that's obviously you can see.
If this is a true photo. I would have to say he went a little overboard, especially a 4-year-old. That's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we don't condone like beating of children. There's a difference between beating and a little smack on the ass and a threat. Sorry, we just ran out of battery on the recorder here. We're just talking about Adrian Peterson and his 4-year-old son that apparently he gave a pretty decent whooping to. So yeah, like we were saying, like I don't know if I said this before, but we're not condoning it. But I think when there starts to be blood and physical wounds, then I think it's a little over the edge. I mean, there's a difference between getting spanked and a little threat and maybe a little whack or something like that. But I don't know. This looks like multiple hits. You know?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious at what caused the spanking or switch hitting in particular. Like if it's something like a 4-year-old was about to go into traffic or something like that, I could somewhat see an overreaction. I don't condone what I see right there, but I can definitely see. Because that's, when growing up, my dad, it was a spanking because, all right, you were just about to kill yourself or something like that, you know? And I'm not, if the kid spilled chocolate milk on the rug and he did that, I mean, that's double what the hell's wrong with you.
Yeah, and especially, If he is 4 years old, there's not much I could see worth that beating. You know, if you're a teenager and you're doing drugs or stealing money or something like that, then I can understand a more abusive beating on his part. Not but I'm just saying the more of a reason. I don't know what a 4-year old can do to deserve something like that.
I mean,
a 4-year old. They know nothing. My niece is turning 4 tomorrow. I can never see what she would do, you know. Yeah, of course she doesn't listen and throws temper tantrums and, like you were saying, maybe run into the street. But to beat the hell out of him, I don't know.
Yeah.
With a fucking branch. And apparently the branch, you got to take the lead. So it's you have to premeditate it almost. Mm-hmm. You have to really think about it.
Well, I guarantee you that's something that his father did to him.
Well, he said that. He said that's how it happened to me.
Is he from the South? That's, switches.
This happened
or?
In Texas, I think.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's pretty bad. Like I said, when I heard the story, I was on one side of the fence because, I've been disciplined, and I think we are very soft on children a lot these days. But then I kind of I saw these pictures this morning. I'm like, ooh, maybe now I'm on the other side of the fence. I don't know.
I mean, I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I find it sad where it's almost like we have to do timeouts and people are wondering why these kids don't have any respect for their parents, don't have any respect for adults, because when we were growing up, my dad would teach me respect. And he didn't do it all the time. It would be sometimes out of line, I know you're going to be a bad character if I don't show you something here. Right. So,
yeah, that's the fine line I guess parents have to walk is how to discipline a child where it's effective. Mm-hmm. I could say, Doug, go to your room. Does that really send the message? But then there's also something like this, which is that could be sending a message years later in this kid the wrong way. I guess that's a fine line parents have to walk. Doug, you are a parent. How did you deal with this kind of stuff?
I'll tell you one story I remember because we, in my day, we learned time out. You discipline a kid by putting him in timeout.
Right.
So you tell him to sit in a corner or whatever. And my ex was, how can I put it? I'm trying to think of a female sort of Mussolini sort, cross between Mussolini and
Stalin,
who was a Vladimir, Dracula, right? He was a really a Count Vlad.
Okay.
Something like that, but in a female, Italian female variety.
All right.
So she was really nasty. And would scream and yell, and I always felt bad for the kids. So I was a softer disciplinarian, and I remember one time I would – the kids had revolted a little bit. Timeout was working pretty well, and I told my son to go in timeout, and he wouldn't. And I'm like, what do you can't beat him
right.
to go into timeout. So I had this brilliant idea, and I said, something? And he was maybe I'm thinking 3 to 5 years old. So I said, Emmy, something? If you're not going to go in timeout after I said it, that must mean that I'm a very bad parent. So I deserve timeout. And I sat down in the timeout spot all by myself, and I looked sad. And after a minute, my son came out and sat down next to me quietly like we were supposed to do in timeout. Mm-hmm. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to I guess effective discipline is kind of what I'm talking about. There's a point, and then how do you when they are still rebelling, when you try to discipline them, like, what is that next step without, you know, a spanking or something
well,
like
that? Can I say the other thing that parents always forget, and it's harder. And it's harder to do, and it comes from classical what's called the classical conditioning paradigm. And so, you know, people think of punishment. And they're, you know, punishment can either be a punishment or it can be a reward if you don't punish someone for doing something when you want. But the better form of discipline, or not discipline, the better form of getting the behavior you want is to reinforce, to reward when they do the right thing.
Right.
So the problem is you have to wait for that to happen. You know, you're not going to beat a kid because he's not pooping. You reward him when they poop.
Right.
And by the way, I did today, and you said you were going to bring me a cookie.
But you didn't wait, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, but you have to wait. You have to wait for the kids, and that takes longer. But, you know, the other, if you think of animal training, you know, the way they get what they want in a show or something like that is you reinforce as they move. You know, there are a lot of natural things that they'll
positive
do anyway. You reinforce
them.
That, and then you reinforce them, and you move them slowly. You shape them to do something more and more and more. So, you know, I only had to hit my kids, like, you know, every 3 or 4 days, you know?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Like, I'm okay with a little spanking and a little, like, I'm going to grab your arm, like, hard arm grab and drag him over to where
I think
they
the worst
be.
Was honestly my son was maybe 11 or 12 and I slapped him across the face because of something he'd said.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line. It's a fine line.
I probably had like 5 spankings in my life. And when I was younger, my dad used my hand. As I got a little older, he used the bell. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was common sense. It's like, you're not going to kill the child. You're just trying to teach him, no, you're going to do something here. And it's the last resort. You don't just go, oh, that's your first time, whack.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. So that's Adrian Peterson. The other thing going on is obviously the Ray Rice story.
How's that going for him?
It's not going good for Ray Rice, but
no.
I have a lot of problems with the whole with a lot of things here. I mean, we talked about it the other night a little bit, but first off, one of my problems is something like this, a video, obviously wrong on Ray Rice's part. Close-handed fist punch to his wife, laying her out. But two things that strike with me. One, do you think this video should be public like this, viewed on networks all over the place, everywhere? Do you think that this is the public's business is the one thing that sticks with me?
I mean, my opinion is it was going to come out anyway. I mean, in a way, you had to tell the networks have to decide, all right, we established this is news. If you want to go see it, go see it.
The networks love this.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I blame it more on the networks. It was going to come out eventually, so we were going to see the video.
Yeah.
But now it's the networks are the ones who's like, oh, let me show it again. Let me show it in the morning show. Let me show it in the afternoon show. Let me show it in the evening show. They're the ones who want to keep on showing the act. I mean, it's a...
Here's my thing, though. Like, of course, not condoning whatever. But one thing that comes to my mind, what if the two of them were liquored up beyond belief, okay, and the man made a terrible mistake, okay? This comes down to what I think is similar to, like, Donald Sterling, right? He said terrible things in the privacy of his house, okay? Now, like, every one of us here, out there, have probably said something shitty in the privacy of their house or at one time. And he even had gotten set up, right? He got recorded by a girl in his house. I know when my wife and I have fought before, and maybe I had a couple of drinks, I've said some terrible shit to her mm-hmm. that I didn't mean. And God forbid the neighbor was videoing that and put it on YouTube and said, Scott Brennan, blah, 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 blah. That makes me look like a demon, you know? But in this case, it's out there so bad. This guy and this woman are never going to be able to – that's never going to go away for them. Never. And if there was a chance of this marriage surviving, their relationship surviving, it's gone now. Now they're in the public eye forever. And I think, like, as a society, we are so quick to jump into a celebrity's life and ridicule them. and demean them and say, oh my God, what a dirtbag, a scumbag, how could you ever do that? And then we all have skeletons in our closets. We've made mistakes and we've said racist things or said something off color, or even maybe you've pushed your wife or something like that. But it wasn't on national TV.
You know,
or
I think it was, you know, I don't follow sports really. Right. And I didn't really follow either of these stories. I didn't even see the Ray Rice video because right. I'm not an inquirer.
It's not even worth
but
watching.
I heard enough about it. But I think the fact that there was a video, however it got released, I don't know. But that seems like if that was part of a police investigation, it seems like that should have stayed
in that
jurisdiction. And I'm sure the networks were all, you know, I don't know what went on, but I'm sure somebody got a lot of money to somehow get that video for one. The
networks probably
so
paid
I think
tens
there was probably, and there very likely could be a court case just about that. Because it does seem to be an invasion of privacy in that regard, but not the charges. Not. It's a big difference between hearing in the news that Ray Rice did this.
I agree.
Versus seeing the video.
I completely agree.
Because
you know what? We never see that video. We never see that video. Maybe they worked their marriage out. And I know people who are victims of abuse will say it never goes away and this and that. But maybe they were drunk. Maybe she was high on cocaine and said something to him and pushed him or something like that, and said something and he wasn't thinking clearly, and you know he did the wrong thing. But it's like people are never allowed to do the wrong thing anymore, especially if you're in the public spotlight, like Paula Deen, right? Remember her? Her whole thing. She got in trouble for saying racist stuff like 30 years ago. You're telling me that she deserves to lose her career, lose her living? Yeah, of course she makes a massive living. But it doesn't matter. It's still her livelihood. That has to come out, and we have to make it a big thing. And I guarantee the people who suspended her have demons in their closet. They've said things. But my point is we're so politically correct and so – We claim that we're a nation of second chances and you know, people can put their time in, whether through therapy or even through a prison sentence, and then they're given a second chance. But if it happens to a celebrity, America loves to see the downfall of someone. We love breaking someone down till there's nothing left. We love it. Mm-hmm. People love it. That's why there's a politician does something wrong. That is front page news for weeks and weeks and weeks. But it's like a lot of – I think a lot of us need to take a step back and say, hey, yeah, you know, maybe I smoked weed or I did drugs or I've had arguments with my wife. I've drove drunk before. We're all not innocent, you know, like – and that's the thing.
Hey.
We love crucifying people.
Hey.
We love it.
What do you mean we're not all innocent?
Yeah. Doug, you're the least innocent person in this room.
Listen, that was the dog. It wasn't me.
Yeah. But, you know.
You calling that 12-year-old boy a dog? Wait a minute.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if you guys agree with me. I don't know. It's just the way I feel. I feel like there's no chance of that marriage. There's no chance now. There's no chance. If that was kept private and he got the charges, yeah, the charges go public. But maybe we never see that. And maybe they work it out. Maybe they do work it out. And, you know, maybe she hit the shit out of him before in his life.
Yeah,
well. And Watson was talking about that on a show. You don't know what happened right before.
Well,
and, you know, you get to know someone a while. They can learn your hot buttons. Because I know my wife. See, my ex.
Yep.
She was amazing at being able to say the right thing.
Oh, that
and
will get you
me,
going.
And it would just my body would
shut
you
down
know,
and
it'd go
the
into
only thing
a
you think
cramp
about.
Or whatever. You know, and I was raised right, so I didn't beat her a lot.
Just enough.
Well.
Sock with an orange in it. Don't leave bruises.
What do you think, Barlow? Like, I don't know.
I mean, at the situation, I know a couple things about the case. Number one, they both were drinking. Number two, apparently she did cocaine. As a buddy of mine was saying, whose wife does cocaine? You're not doing cocaine, for lack of a better term.
Good point.
And there's also been rumors that she spit at him. Now, I'll sit back and say when you're a 275-pound running back.
You're not used to getting spit on.
Yeah. I mean, if you get spit on, I mean, I know that's a knee-jerk reaction. If you're drunk and on cocaine, your first reaction is a punch. It's not thinking straight, but it just boils down to what did we really think was in that elevator? You know, I mean, the rumors are the NFL had that video beforehand. I mean, we all saw just the part where he's dragging her unconscious body out of the elevator. Did we really think, like, he was giving her roses and she tripped and fell and she knocked herself
right.
out?
And maybe in the NFL's defense, maybe they were trying to protect his privacy a little bit. I don't know. Probably not, but probably their own.
Goodell, he loves just crushing guys. You know, he's
the but he's coming type. Under fire now for the light suspension. So it's not working in his favor.
No, I mean, he loves crushing things. He loves having that power in the NFL. And like everybody says, you look at a guy like Josh Gordon of the Cleveland Browns, he got caught for the second time with literally just like 0.01 ounces of marijuana in his system, and he had less amount on his second attempt, but they still said, nope, second time, you're out for a year. But a guy who slapped his girlfriend gets 2 weeks. Now, I'm going to sit back and say,
seriously?
Again, yeah.
The guy was kicked out of football for a
year for his second offense of marijuana.
But here's the thing. There's now Ray Rice is the hot button topic, but there's that guy Hardy on the Panthers, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He
Mike Hardy, I believe.
He's like on got 911 calls against him about beating the crap out of the one. But he's not the face of the story right now, so he's playing. It's just the
Cowboys player, Brent, who killed a guy in a vehicular manslaughter. He's allowed to play in the NFL again. I think he got like a 6-week suspension. I mean, there's too much liberal. I don't consider myself Democrat or Republican. I probably lean towards more Democrats, but I will say sometimes we're just so over liberal where it's just like, no, we gotta teach a lesson. We gotta teach a lesson. While it's sitting back and saying, let's look at a case by case basis.
Yeah, I agree. And also, like, what was I gonna say? We have. You take these players, okay? You're a single guy, Berlew. You're making $6 million a year.
I'm doing good in comedy.
Your season is 16 weeks long, sometimes 20 weeks long. Mm-hmm. You're the rest of that year, you're alone or with people. You're allowed to go out and party and things like that. And maybe say, okay, yeah, maybe you smoked weed, okay? Now we're gonna the Pittsburgh Steelers running backs. They both just got caught on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna crucify them and make it seem like that's so outrageous. I mean, there is doctors, lawyers, principals, whatever you want, smoking weed as we speak. Okay, and if they came out, I don't know how it would come out. We wouldn't crucify them. It wouldn't be national news. But it's because it's. I mean, I guess it's part of the realm because you're in a sport that's watched by billions of people. But we just crucify these guys like they're such maniacs. Like,
mm-hmm.
they're out alone and young. That's the other thing. They're young. These are 25, 26-year-old kids.
You never hear about the 46-year-old quarterback who got caught smoking pot, you know?
And it's like, what's going to happen in a couple years now when pot is legal in most states? What are we going to go, oops, you know, we made a big deal about it.
Well, I mean, their whole system is silly. The kicker, Prater from the Denver Broncos, he got suspended 4 weeks because they found alcohol in his system. Alcohol's legal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we caught you in a drug test. And? I mean, it's just so silly. I mean, if you're going to have a drug system to look for illegal drugs, if you're going to look for performance enhancing where you could kill somebody being this like super duper Hulk like character, I could somewhat understand why you're doing it. If it's legal in all states or in marijuana's case, some states, just let it be.
No, yeah. If anyone's going to call pot a performance enhancer.
If you sack a quarterback 4 times on pot, I congratulate you.
Exactly.
I want him to have a signing bonus for that.
Go catch a ball coming at you at 50 miles an hour while you're high. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly.
I don't know. I think, like when I opened the show, it's, I think our privacy is going out the window. And I think it's going to be really a big concern very soon. Have you seen that drone? You can go. I can go buy a drone now online, and they're fucking cool. They're amazing.
Yeah.
I could. You. They hook up to their own Wi-Fi signal, so they fly around connected to your Wi-Fi signal. When the battery starts to die, the thing you program a spot, it'll come and land where that spot is. But I could fly a drone around outside Doug Max's window, and God knows what's going on in here.
You'll never fly a drone again if you capture that.
But we are so close to that Big Brother kind of, you know, like, there, our privacy is with the Google glasses and the iPhones and the Samsung, whatever. You could be videotaped at any time. You could be. It's scary. It's scary that, like, it's almost coming through the walls now. You know what I mean? Like, your four walls are not enough anymore.
You know, it's funny you say that because right now I feel like I'm being recorded.
He's here all night, folks. But, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think privacy is going to become a big hot topic in the next couple years or so. I mean, you got companies now who are – there was talk, I don't know if you remember, a couple months ago about Amazon doing drone drop-offs.
Yeah.
I order a new microphone, and a drone can come drop it off at my house. Like – it's getting scary a little bit, it's man. It's getting scary.
Order, like the washing machine and see the drones. But, you know, there's really an issue, you know, long distance with drone. It was I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a very nifty thing. And, you know, with that sort of delivery, too, it won't be long until the USPS is out of business, too. You know,
yeah. Oh, yeah, they're close.
They should, you know, be out of business. If all these, you know, if when 30, 40 years, it'll be one store, you know, it'll be Amazon and IKEA combined. They'll own everything, and so you know, it'll you won't need mail. Nobody's going to mail physically. It'll be all digital. And
yeah, I don't know. It's just scary that. Put it this way: as a teacher, one thing I sometimes think about. Now, I teach elementary school, so I don't think it's as big as a problem. But if I'm a high school teacher, every kid's got a phone, okay? Which means if I could be recorded. Pictures can be taken of me, video. Now, they take something, they put it in the wrong context, they, you
so
know.
So, like, you should double-check your fly before class begins?
Yeah, those kind of things. But, I don't know, that's really scary to me. Like, you could take any statement and twist it somehow and said he said this then, or, it's very scary that, like,
can I
go ahead.
Shift to a totally related place?
Yeah.
Because right. I was a substitute teacher for 3 months. And the reason I got fired was because in class I said that I had this is a high school special needs class, and by mistake in class I said that I had a 5'6" penis.
How do you mistakenly say that?
Well, I'll tell you how, and that's a wonderful story. Let me explain. I'm going to do this really quick. The day before, I rewarded my kids, and we went to the computer lab because none of them had computers.
Right.
And so we were supposed to be doing math exercises, and I saw three or four of them gather, high school kids, juniors and seniors, gathering around a screen. And when I went to see what they were looking at, they were looking at a website. This girl was sitting right in front of it. It was called Guys with Monster Cocks. Next day, we're in the classroom.
Did you see my picture on there?
No, I didn't.
Is that where the podcast is going to go?
Yes.
I want to check it out later.
Yeah, yep. That's where it's going. The next day, I'm doing a lecture on measurement. And, you know, like kids, how wide is the room? How tall is it? How tall am I? While I'm doing that, one of the kids with some severe ADHD had one of those roller shade blinds from the windows, and this was literally like a 5 foot long roller blind, the kind you pull down from the window. It was broken, so all he had was a rod. This kid was holding it in his lap, stroking it like he was masturbating.
Nice.
And we're talking about measurements in class.
Yeah.
And at one point in class, I said, I'm 5'6" tall. And a girl in the back of the class said, Mr. Max, you're not 5'6" tall. And I turned to the kid who's holding this 5 foot long bar, in stroking it. And I said to him, sotto voce. This is my problem in an inner city school. I said to him as an aside, my penis is 5 foot.
See, that's why you shouldn't be doing substituting.
That's why I shouldn't
possibly.
Be substituting no. teacher. And I'm, you know, when they fired me, I'm thinking, you know, what the funny part of the story is, I can legitimately explain, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if this is a good side of you, Doug. I don't know if that story helps.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
But they fired me for that. Can you believe that?
Yes.
Try to veal everyone. He'll be here all week.
Ugh. All right, news stories, guys. News story. Boy with eight limbs has a major operation.
Eight limbs.
What was the operation?
Eight limb.
Octomom.
Three of the arms.
Yeah, it's a case of addition by subtraction for a boy in Uganda born with four extra limbs. When Paul Makisa was born on May 27th in a village in Nabagingo, he showed signs of parasitic twinning, a condition where one of the twins is not fully developed. Little Paul had two arms and two legs from a brother that never fully grew. The child and the parasitic twin shared part of the same pelvic bone, but examination showed that Paul's heart was on the right side of the body while his liver was on the left, the opposite of most humans. That happened August 18th, according to Dr. Nasser Kakinbo, who operated on the child. The baby was given general anesthesia in the torso and the trunk of the parasitic twin, which had two arms, but no head or heart was detached from the host body. Then we also detached the lower limbs of the parasitic twin from the host, which included disarticulating the right and left lower limbs as they were attached by joints. The heart and liver were moved to the correct places in the body. The doctors were able to control the bleeding and fashion skin flaps to close the wound. The child is recovering nicely.
And to make up for it, they gave him an extra large.
So here he is, guys, with eight limbs. None of the good ones.
Wow.
But I don't know. I mean, he's like a new version of Vishnu.
It's Vishnu,
the eight-armed elephant.
Mm.
And if you know, one of my bits is on Siamese twins, so this freaks me the hell out.
That's just nasty. I mean,
poor kid.
I mean, it's not even like...
Pretty much, yeah. Underdeveloped and attached. It's frightening.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. They're underdeveloped. It's not even, like, useful. I mean...
Yeah.
Now, if that was your child...
Doug, what would you do with eight limbs?
I would, like... I'd be amazing with the ladies.
Yes. You'd be able to smoke...
With more than one woman.
Have a coffee. Have two or three women. And take a jog.
What's that ancient beast that's, like, the bottom half is a horse?
Centaur.
Yeah. Yep.
That'd be great.
It would be called...
Berlo, what would you do with eight
limbs? Octomax.
I mean, with four legs, I'd be the greatest sprinter of all time.
Yes.
I would just defeat anybody. I'd laugh at that South African...
Defeat? We just fist bumped over that. Sorry. Yep.
I wasn't even going there, but go ahead.
Yeah. You were there. You were there.
I wasn't even going there.
Well, it was your pun.
Here we go. Woman allegedly points rifle at boy playing clarinet outside. A Western Colorado woman is accused of pointing a rifle at several children in a neighboring backyard because she is upset that an 11-year-old boy was playing his clarinet outside. Mesa County Sheriff deputies believe 60-year-old Cheryl Ann Pfeiffer of Clifton had been drinking before allegedly threatening the children Wednesday. The Daily Sentinel reports that the boy told Pfeiffer he was practicing the clarinet as part of his homework and couldn't go back inside his grandmother's house because a baby was sleeping. Several of the other children in the backyard with him reported that Pfeiffer also pointed a gun at them and yelled, "Fire in the hole!" as they ran away. Deputies say Pfeiffer's rifle wasn't loaded. Pfeiffer declined to comment. She faces possible child abuse and felony menacing charges.
Possible?
Wasn't loaded.
Possible wasn't loaded.
No.
In her defense, she said, "But he was horrible."
I mean, I guess it's better than those guys in Texas who want to, like, eat a Qdoba with a loaded semi-automatic. I mean, I guess she's just like, "I just wanted to scare him away." But, I mean, the kid's, poor kid's just trying to play clarinet and all. If he's playing clarinet, he's not that popular in school to begin with. And now he's getting threatened to get shot at.
And he probably wasn't very good.
considering it drove someone to point a gun at him.
No. How old was the kid? 11?
11.
Yeah, no 11-year-old kid playing clarinet is good. But the point is, the woman should be arrested. I'm sorry. I mean, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get arrested. Listen,
and, you know, I mean, you're right. The submachine guns in a Qdoba is like, kooky. It's like, what do they think is going to happen?
I go to school. The bullies beat me up because they play clarinet. I go home to practice. I almost get shot.
Yeah.
God.
Try trumpet, kid.
Try the electric guitar, my friend. Bring back rock and roll.
And, you know, it's another sign of what's wrong with this country. You know, the funding for arts programs and music across the country has been cut. What hasn't been cut?
The NRA.
Well, I was going to say sports. For kids, for schools, it's sports. So my town had a big referendum because they could get $2 million from the county if they built another, you know, the fifth or sixth or seventh baseball field with lights. You know, so they said, well, we're going to lose the $3 million if we don't spend $3 million. So guess what? Another $6 million field. It only cost us $3 million, our 10th field.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and as long as sports and hunting and shooting and all that is so glorified, and academic performance and music and arts aren't, you know, crazy kooks like that are going to run rampant, and people are going to go, oh, I understand. How annoying would that be hearing clarinet outside?
All right, that brings me to a little segment called Dirtbag of the Week.
All right.
Okay. And
that's why I'm here.
This week, and it's Michael Berlow. No.
I'd like to thank the Academy for this award.
Maybe I'll give trophies out. I don't know what that trophy would look like, but all right. This week's Dirtbag of the Week.
Dirtbag of the week.
Grave digger. Let me try to say that word again. Grave digger.
The monster truck?
Yes, the monster truck was suspended after taking a photo with an exhumed body.
Yeah.
Talk about grave situation. See what they did there?
Ba-dum-bunch.
A grave digger in Spain was suspended after a photo of him posing with an exhumed body circulated on social media. The man, identified only as Clemente, is being investigated by police after appearing in the photo with a man who is believed to be the dead man's nephew. Ugh. The victim reportedly died 23 years ago. The body was exhumed so the grave could be extended. And here, guys, is the picture.
He looks pretty good for being dead for 23 years.
What does "so the grave can be extended" mean?
I don't know.
Maybe they're extending... the plots is in making more room.
I bet it means up and down.
Oh, Clemente is on the right. The photo taken by the dead man's...
The
photo was taken by the dead man's niece.
Ah, it's a family affair.
It was silliness with no justification whatsoever, a municipal representative said in the statement. Wow. Is that chips?
Yeah, don't make an old joke with chips. I've been there. I've seen it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I miss a lot of my dead relatives, too, but never thought about going and take a selfie with them.
I mean, if the family's okay with it, I mean, technically, there's nothing wrong from a tactical standpoint.
There's something wrong. There's something wrong with that
by it, but if the family is technically not up in arms, I mean, maybe like a spouse or a... brother or sister say something, I guess they have a right to get him suspended, but...
They're thinking, what? It's Breakfast with Bernie. It was a great
movie. Weekend at Bernie's. You think they took
Breakfast
him out afterwards for a little like buffet, set him, propped him up?
Let's have fun with our nephew.
It's his birthday.
Harold, how you been? Why so quiet?
Keep a stiff
have another
lip.
Beer.
Oh, stiff upper lip, another good one.
I mean, as long as it's like Weekend at Bernie's and not like Weekend at Bernie's 2, I'm fine with that.
Right.
That was god-awful.
Yeah.
That would be inexcusable. I'd have the man fired for that.
But, you know, I hate to say it, as sick and what do you call this segment? The
Dirtbag of the Week.
Dirtbag of the Week. You know, there are people doing things that make this look like,
Child's
you know,
play.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Mm.
You know, I think of the world's dictators. We've got our terrorists.
Well, I didn't know you were gonna. I didn't know you were gonna turn this into a real deep segment.
A moral thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's deep. We can go into freaking ISIS and.
No, I mean I hear what people do. You know, and on my online dating world, I hear what guys do on dates, like first dates. Guys are like disgusting.
This is disgusting. You are, Doug.
I am.
You are.
But I buy them dinner.
Yes. At least they eat before
you
they
buy
die.
Men dinner. Wait a minute.
At least they eat before they're killed.
Listen. I'm classy on a date. I take them to my favorite place.
The graveyard?
And I order
McDonald's.
For them. And I order for them.
What's that?
The lady will have the meat lover's personal
pizza.
Here
we go. Stick Max in the house.
Good one.
All right, gentlemen. It's that time to wrap this podcast up. Berlow, you got any shows coming up?
My show got moved to November. I was actually going to do the October 13th with you, but I got a notice from Steve Schwartz. I'm back in November now.
Okay.
But, I'll just be hitting mics and I'll be hitting a show sometime soon. So keep in touch with me, people.
All right. Doug Max, anything coming up for you?
Yeah, I know I've got a show coming up on, oh boy. I think it's September 30th in Somerset. Rocco Romeo's Room.
Okay.
And I know I'm going to be doing a weekend show at Scotty's Comedy Club, 595 Morris Avenue, Springfield, New Jersey, one of these Friday or Saturday nights. But I don't know when. I don't know when.
Okay. So,
and you? What about you, Scott?
Me, the only thing I got on the horizon right now is October 13th at Raritan Valley Community College. Berlew was supposed to be on with me. I guess he got.
I demanded real talent.
You got bumped.
I'm sorry.
You got bumped. So as you can see, there's three comedians with three shows over 3 months.
Living the high life.
Living the high life. Please tune into the podcast. Please keep subscribing on iTunes, subscribing on Stitcher, or you can listen right on Podbean or many other things. Just listen, spread it around. If you're interesting, you have an interesting story, I'd love to have you on. Thank you guys for being on the podcast, and keep the wind at your back, and I love you.